good. Thank you, Rabbi. It's great to be here and great to be given the opportunity to speak. I know some of you were looking at the picture the rabbi's been showing for the last several months, and he got that off the Health First website, and I'm wearing my white lab coat, and some of you thought you were going to get a free physical today, and you're not going to get that today. So, I had lunch with the rabbi this week, and he mentioned to me that I spoke here once. It was about 12 years ago, and I said, "Gee, I forgot about that." And he said, "Yeah, you did such a great job. I thought I'd let you speak again in another 12 years." And I said, "Thanks, Rabbi." Actually, the reason I'm up here stemmed from a conversation I had with Rebbetzin Diana. But before I get into that, I want to say a few things, because I'm not going to get this microphone for another 12 years. Is that
at
right?
At least.
I want to thank my bandmates, Carrie on the violin. She does a great job. Thank you for marrying Bruce. I really enjoy your husband, so you want to keep him. And then Brad, of course, is a great drummer, does a great job. And then Sonia fills in sometimes on the piano, and thank you so much. And then, of course, Dave's son, Eric, you know, he does a great job. He's a hoot. I really enjoy him. It's nice to be around young people, but I especially want to thank Irina. She's really good. I don't know if any of you know that. She was trained as a concert pianist, I believe, and she's a piano teacher. And if you're ever going to be in a band, you want at least one of the people in the band to be really good, because it makes the rest of the band sound so much better. So, and I guess if I'm not going to get the microphone for another 12 years,
at least 12 years,
I need to thank you, Rabbi, for the wonderful job that you do, and I wish you well in your retirement. And
hey, don't use that word.
I know you'll be still with us, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in the years ahead. But as the rabbi said, I spent 14 years in the U.S. House of Representatives. I represented Brevard County, Indian River County, and Osceola County. I got elected in 1994. I was part of that Gingrich class, the Republican Revolution. We took the House Republican for the first time. For my Democrat friends in the audience, I hope I'm not offending you. I love Democrats as well. And I'm going to talk about the Israel Allies Foundation, and that's why I'm here. And we're bipartisan, which is really nice. We have Democrats and Republicans coming together. It's sort of like the way things are supposed to be. But you know, the story is a kind of interesting one. I got invited to a dinner over on the Senate side with Senator Sam Brownback. He was a friend of mine. He was actually my roommate for a while. He went on to become the governor of Kansas, and then he's now in the administration. He's the ambassador at large for religious liberty, I think is the title that he has. But I was invited to a dinner, and it was going to be some members of the Knesset and Senator Brownback and myself, and it was all about how there's so many Christians that are supportive of Israel and how it's a wonderful thing and it's good for Israel, and it's brought some healing, I think, personally, between people of the Christian faith and people, you know, of the Jewish faith. And there's a lot of, you know, badness in our past in terms of our relationships. You know, we haven't, as Gentiles, we haven't always gotten along real well with our Hebrew brothers, to say the least. And so I went to this dinner and I met with some of these Knesset members, and we talked about, you know, Christian support for Israel. And then a few months after that, there was an event in Jerusalem, that was put on by Bridges for Peace. Do any of you know about Bridges for Peace? Who knows about Bridges for Peace? Bridges for Peace is an international organization that does the same sort of thing. It educates Christians on the scriptures and about supporting Israel. And they have an office in Jerusalem, and they had invited these two Knesset members to go to this event. And they happened to invite two guys who really disliked each other very, very intensely. I mean, imagine like Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi. It was that sort of it was that sort of a thing. And these two guys had been at each other's throat all day in the Knesset, and there they are in the evening, and they're at this event, and they started talking and saying, you know, we don't agree with each other on much of anything, but we agree that all this Christian support for Israel is a good thing. And so they formed a caucus in the Knesset, and it's called the Christian Allies Caucus, and it's still in existence today. They formed it 15 years ago. They hired a staffer. His name is Josh Reinstein. And they sent Josh Reinstein to my office because Josh had been at that dinner over on the Senate side, and they wanted a sister caucus in the U.S. House. And they asked me to start it, and I did. And they wanted it to be bipartisan, so I went to Elliot Engel. Some of you know who he is. He's now the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee. He was the ranking member before the election, and now he has the gavel. And I had gotten to know Elliot. Elliot is a Democrat from New York City, and I grew up on Long Island. And we would talk New York stuff on the floor of the House. Sometimes you have these votes that go on forever and ever, and you sit and you chat or kibitz. Is that how you say it, Rabbi?
Well, I'm impressed.
You're impressed. He has a hook, by the way. It's over there. But so we formed this caucus, but I didn't want to call it the Christian Allies Caucus. I mean, I figured if you did that, you'd be doing a lot of explaining. You know, why is it called the Christian Allies Caucus? But it really has something to do with Israel. And so I said, let's call it the Israel Allies Caucus. And yeah, leave that one up there. That's a good one. We did, and we had all these Democrats and Republicans came together, and they were all in support of Israel, and we did some good things. But the interesting part is this guy Josh Reinstein, who came to my office, then proceeded to go to Brazil with some Knesset members, went to Uruguay, went to South Korea, went to Japan, went to Canada, and before long we had caucuses in like 6 or 7 countries. And then the guy who was sort of my counterpart in the Knesset, his name was Rabbi Benny Alon. Maybe you can go to the second slide. See there, he's passed away now. Wonderful man. He was a rabbi, but he was also a politician. And he was in the Knesset. He came to me and said he wanted to put on a conference in Washington, D.C., and he had a donor that was going to donate some money to fund the event. And I said to him, well, you have to have a bank account to deposit the check into. You can't put it in your pocket and then set this whole thing up. So you either have to find a charity or you have to create a charity. And he, Benny, wanted to create a new charity. So we created this thing. It was called the International Israel Allies Caucus Foundation. It was a mouthful. And legally, that's what we still are. And so we created this foundation, and the foundation is still alive, and the foundation still exists, and we're now in a whole bunch of countries, and I'm going to show you that later when we go up on the website, and we've done a lot of great things. And I was telling Rebbetzin that I'm now the chairman of the board of this foundation. I've served on its board. I left Congress. I went on the board of the foundation. We're headquartered in Washington, D.C., and I recently became the chairman. And she said to me, you know, most of the congregation doesn't know you do this. And I said, you're right. And she and I agreed that I would come and I would finally get the microphone again.
After 12 years, got to remember.
So here I am, and I didn't want to make this entirely political. You didn't come here to get a dose of Israel politics or U.S. politics. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about why I do this and why I think everybody should support Israel. And I'm speaking more now, I would say, to the Gentiles here in the room, that we should all try to bless the Jew. We should all try to bless Israel. It's good for us. And the most important thing I want to share with you today is I think when you do that, you're really getting in tune with God in your life. And that's what this is really all about, okay? God could have chose the Filipinos to bring the word to the world. He is not limited by time or space or anything. He chose these people for a reason. He created them for a reason. And they've brought us the word. They brought us the Bible. I was going to use my Bible, and I left it over here. Excuse me. But this was written by the Jews. I mean, there's some controversy that Luke might have been a Gentile. Most people think he wasn't. The entire book, from beginning to end, is written by the Jews. So how can you not love the Jew? You read the word of the Jews. But I would say the other big thing that we have to keep mind of, and some of you may be a little bit offended by this, but our God is Jewish. And I'm gonna explain to you, you know, why I'm saying that. You know, I started getting interested in the Jewish roots of our faith when I was a kid, because I was raised in a Catholic home. My mother was really into being a Catholic, and she was giving me one of her Catholic spiels, and I was listening to her, and I would say I was about 8 years old, and I said to her, I just had the presence of mind to ask her. I said, "Mommy, was Jesus a Catholic?" And she said, "No, he was Jewish." And that blew me away. That totally blew me away. 8 years old, Jewish. I thought he was a Catholic, Mom. Now, I really got blown away when several years later she told me he wasn't born on Christmas Day. That completely freaked me out, because, you know, that I was a kid. That's the biggest holiday in the world. Everybody's got off from school for 2 weeks. You get all those presents. And, of course, I later learned, you know, the roots of all of that. And Rabbi has spoken many times eloquently on when actually Jesus or Yeshua, as we refer to him, was born. He was born in the fall, of course. So why do I say he's Jewish? Well, I think when you die, you meet him. I mean, it's no question about it in my mind. And he's not going to show up Irish. He's not going to show up Italian. He's not going to show up Jamaican, okay? He's going to be the same guy he was 2,000 years ago when he was on the cross. Have any of you seen that movie, Heaven is for Real? Some of you have seen it. A lot of you haven't. All right, if you remember anything, remember Heaven is for Real, and go home, Google it, try to download it, and try to watch it. It's a fascinating movie. It's about this little kid. He's about 3 or 4 years old, and he has one of these out-of-body death experiences on the operating table. He develops appendicitis, and he recovers, and he starts asking his parents all of these questions about things that he should have absolutely no knowledge of, and that's because he met his grandfather, and he met Jesus. And he talks about Jesus, but not by name. He meets Yeshua, and he talks of him not by name, but he mentions him as a man with markers on his hands and markers on his feet. That's the way he referred to him. And so I don't think Yeshua stops being who he was 2,000 years ago. He is going to meet you. That doesn't mean, for those of you who aren't Jewish, and I'm 95% not Jewish. I did my DNA. And for those of you who are math impaired, that means I'm 5% Jewish. We were talking about somebody earlier today who keeps going back and testing to try to get a higher score. The guy wants to be Jewish. You shouldn't want to be Jewish. I mean, God made you exactly the way he wanted to make you, okay? Whether you're yellow, red, white, black, and blue, like I am. I had dental surgery this week. I don't know if you can tell I'm black and blue. But he made you, and he likes you the way you are. And he made you that way for a reason. But I thought that was cool that I was 5% Jewish. Because, you know, my father was Irish and English, and my mother was Italian. Of course, they're both deceased, but I would love to be able to, I guess I will have an opportunity to say something to them about this, like which one of you is 5% Jewish. But so why should we support the Jew? Why should we support the sons of Abraham? So maybe go to the next slide. I've got a few slides with some scriptures on it. So most of you are familiar with this verse. God is speaking to Abraham in the desert and says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Now, I don't know about you all. I want to be blessed. Does anybody here want to be cursed? Raise your hand. Hearing none, the blessed have it. We're all familiar with this verse of scripture, but it's not the only scripture. And the story that I really like, throw up the next slide for me. Numbers 24:9, and that's the story of Balak and Balaam. And so the Hebrew people have defeated all these other nations, and they come against this guy by the name of Balak, this king, and he's afraid. And he finds this mystic or sorcerer by the name of Balaam. And it's a funny story. You know, there's a lot of really great, funny stories in the Bible, at least I think. And this is one of my favorites, because he hires this guy to curse the Jews, and he keeps blessing the Jews over and over and over again. And finally, Balak just gives up, and he sends Balaam on his way. But this is a quote that I think you have to take to heart. It says, like a lion they crouch and lie down, like lionesses who dare to rouse them. Who dares to rouse them? He's referring to the Hebrew people in the desert. They're about to go into the promised land, and they are about to defeat the Canaanites. And then he goes on to say, may those who bless you be blessed, and those who curse you be cursed. There are other verses. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare a lot of scripture verses today. I was seeing patients all week and doing some other things, but the Bible speaks very clearly of this issue. And so, whose side do you want to be on? Do you want to be on God's side, or do you want to be on somebody else's side, is the question I have for you. And if we look at history, you know, look at Egypt and what happened to them. They were like the United States of their era. They were the big, powerful country in the world. They were building all their pyramids. They had their armies. They did what they did to the Jewish people, and the scripture actually speaks of it, how they were never going to be the same, and they've never been the same. And they've always been struggling ever since. And Spain is the other one that I find very, very fascinating. It was a global power. They were the United States of their day. They had fleets all over the world. They were prospering financially, and they kicked the Jews out. They horrible persecution of the Jews. And they have never recovered. Germany, look what happened to Germany. I mean, they were split in two for years and years and years. I think Germany would be in worse shape were it not for the repentance that they engaged in as a nation for what happened in World War II. So let's go to the next slide, because this is one of my favorite verses. And so this is the prophecies of Zechariah, and he's speaking to the Jewish people in captivity in Babylon. And he says, up, up, flee from the land of the north, says the Lord, for I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Up, Zion, escape, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon, for thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. So, the apple of his eye. So, that is believed the term to represent your pupil, okay? So, if you're going to persecute the Jewish people, the way I interpret this verse is it's like poking God in the eye. So, you don't want to do that. Finally, lastly, I would say, and this is really a testimony of God and the existence of God, and that's what this is really all about. I mean, it's not just about the Jews, it's not just about Messiah, Yeshua, but it's God and God's will and the way God is dealing with us here on earth. And there was a famous exchange between Benjamin Disraeli, who was the Prime Minister of England, and Queen Victoria. And Queen Victoria and Benjamin Disraeli actually was raised in a Christian home, though he had a Jewish background genetically. Queen Victoria questioned Benjamin Disraeli about the existence of God. And Disraeli responded to the queen and said, well, look at the Jews. How can you look at the Jews and not believe in God? And really, if you stop and think about it, if you look at the Jews and you look at Israel, how can you not believe in God? If you want a testimony or a witness, they were driven out of the Holy Land. More than 2,500 years ago, they were taken into captivity in Babylon, but then they were able to go back and repopulate their country. I ask you, show me in a history book somewhere where somebody was driven out, a nation of people were driven out of their homeland and were able to go back and repopulate it. But of course, we're talking today in the 21st century, they've done it twice. They came back from Babylon, and then they were scattered to the four winds, and here they are again, recreating not only their homeland, but they resurrected their language. I mean, you go to Israel today, they're speaking Hebrew. Nobody was speaking Hebrew except small groups of people in the Jewish communities around the world, and they came back after 1948, and they recreated Hebrew again as their national language. And I ask you a question: who else has done anything like that? If the hand of God is not on the Jewish people, and if the blessings of God are not on Israel, and this is not part of God's will to recreate this country today, for this time, for such a time as this, I think about the odds against that, the overwhelming difficulty of doing something like that. And you can't, I don't think you can avoid being confronted with the reality of what Benjamin Disraeli was saying when he spoke to the Queen. God is real. And this is God. And this is God's hand in our age, at this time that we are actually witnessing. And so I encourage you, and I guess I'm preaching to the choir here, though you're not the choir, you're the members, but we need a choir. Don't we need a choir,
no.
Rabbi? That's what I like about him. He's decisive. No. No choir. Just don't make me the choir master. That's all I ask. But seriously, it's an incredible miracle. And as we know, the scriptures speak of this, the recreation of the land, the bones coming together, the flesh coming on the bones. And to be part of it and to be able to do something about it. So back to me, and I, you know, I got elected to Congress, and I shocked my mother-in-law and myself in the process of doing it. And one of the greatest things for me, you know, I always wanted to do something to help the Jews, and it dates back to my childhood. I was really, really impacted by that movie, The Diary of Anne Frank. Are you all familiar with that?
Yeah.
Most of you are. For you young people, it's about this poor Jewish girl during the Holocaust, and she was hiding, and her family was hiding. And I remember watching it when I was a kid. I was pretty young, and it was on TV, and I wanted to go kill Germans after watching that movie, and it was so bad. I mean, it was horrible watching it, but of course, I knew the war was over. My father fought in World War II. He was wounded twice, and I knew I couldn't, unless another war broke out, I wouldn't ever have the opportunity to kill Germans. And for those of you who are German, I hope I'm not offending you. I don't want to kill you.
Too late.
but I wanted to do something. I really wanted to do something. And one of the most exciting things for me when I got elected was we put in legislation that we would move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. But the President Clinton at the time wouldn't sign off on it unless they had this sentence in there, unless determined by the State Department that it's best to delay it or something like that. And so he delayed it. Clinton delayed it. And I was so happy when George Bush defeated Al Gore. And George Bush did the exact same thing. He would not move the embassy. And he would not let us strip that language out. And I was real excited because I thought Donald Trump was crazy enough to do it. And he did. He did. And he's not crazy. I hope I haven't offended any of you. And for those of you who are Democrats, I'm not going to turn this into a Trump rally, I promise you. Though some of you would like me to turn it into a Trump rally. We'll have a food fight instead of a... but actually, we played a role, this foundation, we played a role in that embassy move. Our staff started meeting with the guy, David Friedman, who was designated to become the ambassador to Israel. And we had done some things earlier in the Republican platform. And I didn't do it, you know. I was on the board, and I just show up at meetings every 3 months. And so it was really the staff that do it and the people that work for us who actually got the job done. But we have this foundation, and I just wanted to share with you a little bit about it. Do I have any more slides to go through? Can you go to the next one, or was that the last one? Oh, yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit about this, the land. Rabbi talks frequently about the land. And this is the scene where they sacrifice the animals in Genesis, Abraham and God, and the flame goes between the parted animals. And then it says, to your descendants I give this land from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, etc., etc., etc. I don't see anywhere in this book where that land title is revoked. I don't see anywhere that it is. So go to the next slide. So you'll see all kinds of maps, okay? And all these scholars, you know, where are the where did the Cadmonites live, and where did this group and this group? But this is one of the bigger ones. There are some people who contend that's God's, that's the property boundaries. That's the biblical interpretation. Now, there are others that are smaller, but as you can see, you got a significant portion of Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon are gone, a vast section of Egypt, all to the Jews. So next slide. But the other thing that's really interesting is if you go and read Exodus and you actually look at the land boundaries that were distributed to the people at the time they populated the land, it is still a much, much larger piece of property, and this is the assignments for the tribes, Reuben, Manasseh, Judah, Simeon. It's a lot of land that they currently don't have possession of, but in the scripture it talks about that being their land title. Next slide. So that's the little area there. I don't know how well you can see that, but it's a little strip of land, and that's all they have. And again, whose side do you want to be on? Do you want to be on God's side, or do you want to be on the world's side? They talk about land for peace. Now, what do we believe in at the foundation, or what are the things that we promote? Maybe you can go to our website now. And I brought a little bit of literature. I have it in my briefcase. If any of you want to get anything, it's not much. They were supposed to send me some packets, and the staff didn't. But we believe, number one, or we promote at the foundation, Jerusalem as the undivided capital of Israel. One. Number two, we advocate for a non-nuclear Iran. We consider that to be a pretty big priority. We don't actually take a position on land for peace. It's a very politically controversial thing. Most of us are opposed to it. The majority of Israelis are opposed to it. But we are also combating at the foundation something called BDS. Any of you know what BDS is? We had a guy working for us for years. Unfortunately, he got stolen away by another group. There's lots of people working in this vineyard trying to help, you know, Israel. But we were successful in passing laws in 26 states that combat BDS. And the strategy behind it is basically this. The states, the United States, our states, have a lot of purchasing power. You know, they purchase all kinds of stuff. They purchase cars. They purchase laundry detergent for the prisons. They purchase books. And we passed in all these state legislatures all over the world, all over the United States, 26 states, laws that basically say if you're a corporation, whether a domestic corporation or an international corporation, and you're engaging in the boycotts, divestiture, and sanctions program. That's what BDS stands for. It's a Palestinian-generated, left-wing, anti-Israel-generated international effort to hurt Israel economically is what it is. And I believe it's anti-Semitic in its origins. I don't see how you can say it isn't. And so we had model legislation that we made up, and the first state that passed it was South Carolina. It was passed in the state of Florida. And it basically says to the governor and the legislature, if that investment house, whatever it is, you know, Smith Barney, Merrill Lynch, if they're engaging in or supporting the BDS program, you can't put your retirement funds in that. Interestingly, the way we crafted the legislation, we don't say Jewish, we don't say Israel. We just say engaging in national boycotting or economic sanction efforts. So we keep it sort of neutral politically, but everybody everywhere knows, you know, nobody's doing BDS against Lithuania, okay? Nobody's doing BDS against Mexico. It's Israel. And so this is our website, and I just wanted to walk everybody through it. If you enter in your computer, IsraelAllies.org, and this is our landing page. We now have caucuses in 37 countries worldwide. And this was a meeting we had in Washington, D.C. Go back to that if you can. You just hit the arrow back. We had the Guatemalan president come and speak at an event we had in Washington, D.C., and Guatemala has moved its embassy. And we just recently were working with Romania to get the Romanian government to move its embassy. So now it's several. But the president came. He is a Christian. His wife's a Christian. So go to the next one. Let me just walk through this a little bit. Go to the next one. So that's Elliot Engel. He's a Jewish Democrat from New York City. He's the guy I went to in 2006. So how long ago was that? Gosh, I guess I'm getting old, right? 13 years. And he's still the co-chairman of the Israel Allies Caucus in the House, and he's now the chairman of the International Affairs Committee in the House. So maybe you can go to the next one. We have a celebration every year, Jerusalem Day in June. Typically we'll either have it on Capitol Hill or in a hotel somewhere around Capitol Hill. Next slide, next one. This was an event we were invited to. This is a room in the Knesset. I've been in that room. The Knesset building, it's not where the Knesset actually meets, but it's called the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus, or KCAC, and they're celebrating the opening of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. So it was a great event. So maybe you can go to about. So if you click on that, you can read more about the foundation of what we do. And somewhere in there, there's a picture of me and mention of the fact that I'm the chairman of the board. Why don't you go to the next tab across the top? Let me see what that one has. This talks about the caucus. Go down. All right, stop there. So there's Elliot Engel. He's the co-chair, and the guy on the right is the guy who now is the Republican co-chair. If you want to have a bipartisan caucus, we call it co-chairman. So you'll have a Democrat and a Republican basically running it. All right, so go back up and go to member nations. That's the one I really want to show you. So here it is. You can scroll through this. Australia, Brazil, Canada, Costa Rica, Estonia, European Union, Finland, Germany, Ghana, Guatemala, Hungary, Italy, Japan, Kenya, Latvia, et cetera, Netherlands. And this is all a lot of work, I'll just tell you. But these guys are really hungry. They're mostly Christians, few Jews, not many. Some of the South American caucuses, there'll be a few Jews, but in a lot of these caucuses, they're all Christians, but they all believe in supporting Israel. They all want to support Israel. They all want to do what they can. So I would say to you, pray for me. I'm now the chairman of the board. And pray for our foundation. There's nobody doing what we do. It's kind of interesting. We've always been small, we've always been struggling, but God, like Israel itself, it's a small country that's always struggled. We've always been small, and we've really been struggling, but there's nobody else communicating with all these Christian groups around the world, and I think it's an untapped well of support for Israel that has not been exploited. You know, there's, I don't know, 2.5 billion Christians all over the world. And what's really changed things, I think the Spirit of God is moving around the planet and awakening Christians. But the other thing is literacy rates are through the roof. And people used to rely on what the religious leaders said, but now the people can read. And they can read what this says. And they see some of those verses that I was just sharing with you. And I personally believe there are hundreds of millions of Christians ready to do more and that want to do more. But the most important tab I wanted to show you was the last one on the right there. So I said we were small, we were struggling. It's true. But God is not limited by the pennies in your pocket. I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he can get things done without money. But I'd love to have your money. I'd love to have your prayers. It's a blessing. I've been blessed. I know Nancy, my wife, has been very blessed through the work that we've done over the years. We had the opportunity to meet Netanyahu in his chamber, and we were there for about a week, and Nancy starts talking Hebrew to this guy. I never knew she could speak Hebrew, and she had a phrase book. That was it. I mean, you could throw her anywhere, and in about a week, she's going to start speaking the language. I'm still working on my English, as many of you can tell. But so anyway, I thought it would be good when Rebbetzin suggested this, and the rabbi agreed, to just let you all know. I have been very, very blessed to attend here, and it's really a blessing to lead in worship like this. I really... You know, when I was little, I wanted to be a doctor, and then when the Gemini program and Mercury got started, I wanted to be an astronaut, and then when the Beatles came out, I wanted to be a rock star, and so I learned how to play the guitar. I eventually came to my senses and became a doctor, which is what I think God was actually calling me to do, but. I've played in a few bands, but it's really a blessing, and I want to thank you, Rabbi, for allowing me to lead in worship as I have, and I want to thank my wife, Nancy, for the support she's provided me in doing this, and I want to thank all of you for hearing about the Israel Allies Foundation. So God bless you all, and have a wonderful day.
Stay right here. Thanks, Dave. Okay, before he leaves here, let's just have a short word of prayer, because there's some special things going on. Diane, you want to come up?
I want to bring her up.
Yeah, she's the one.
She instigated
the whole thing, so she started it rolling. Praise you, Lord. Father, I thank you for whenever you bring people into a understanding and having a heart for you and your people and your land. And I thank you for putting it on Dave's heart when he was just a boy, just put a spark in his heart, something special that he kept in his heart all these years. And so I ask that you're going to use him, even though he's not up there in the big halls of Washington anymore, that you're going to just keep using him and using him for your purposes, Lord, and throughout this whole thing, because I know it's a time even the enemy would want to battle what he's doing. And so I ask, Father, that you're going to bless David, you're going to bless Nancy, you're going to bless the kids, Katie and Dave, the entire family. They're going to see your blessings, Lord. They're going to all draw closer to you, Lord, throughout this entire time. But we thank you, Father, for motivating us and showing us something truly worthwhile, that we could do something in our lives to affect you, Lord, and your everlasting kingdom. We thank you, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Good, good.